This is Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck in for Jane Lindholm. So much of the news we've heard from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia has come from the convention hall. The speeches, the competitive chanting between Clinton and Sanders supporters, the official proceedings of the convention itself. But just outside the convention bubble, the vibe quickly changes. A 15-minute walk away from the convention center is an energetic, art-filled space where Rock the Vote is hosting a pop-up art exhibition called Truth to Power. It's centered around some of the major issues of concern for young people today: climate change, college debt, sexual assault, and criminal justice. One of the driving forces behind the exhibit, Luis Calderon of Burlington.
I went to Burlington High School. I graduated from Burlington High School in 1992. I am, in fact, a fighting seahorse. I was actually technically the seahorse one year. I was a mascot as well.
Okay, but that's the least of Calderon's resume. He was just named the vice president of marketing and creative at Rock the Vote. And up until June, he was with the Bernie Sanders campaign, where he managed arts, culture, and youth vote, which is no small job in a campaign that was fueled by young voters. VPR's Emily Alfin Johnson met with Calderon at the busy Truth to Power pop-up art exhibit in Philadelphia.
For my good people of Vermont, my home state, we are in an amazing space full of issues-based artwork, people coming together that have honest and interesting conversations about the issues that we're facing today in America and talking them out and ultimately identifying the truths to these issues and then understanding that the power lies within us, the American voter, especially during this election cycle.
Can we walk around a little bit, and can you walk me through some of your favorite stuff?
Sure, I'd love to take you through.
Tell us what we're looking at right now and sort of the story behind it.
Well, these are two flags hanging, and they're bleached, right? You have an American flag, and then you have a rainbow flag, and they have been bleached. All of the color has been taken out of them. So you see faint color, you see a faint yellow, and you get an idea of what that is. This piece is called Transfiguration and the Trans Flag. What if in America we didn't see anyone in terms of gender? What if everyone was just considered a person? What if a person is measured by their spirit, a beautiful white light that we all have as spiritual beings having a human experience, right? That's what this piece says to me. That's what it means to me. I mean, let's take all these colors out. Let's take boundaries out. Let's take countries and landlines out and remember that we are all brothers and sisters on this planet for a finite amount of time, right?
Tell me a little bit about how you went from working for the Sanders campaign to being here. How did that transition happen? What brought you to working with Rock the Vote?
I live in Burlington, Vermont. I raised my family there. My wife, Julie, my son, Ravon, and Olivia. We live in town. My mother moved my sister and I to Burlington when I was a young kid, when Bernie was the mayor, right? And I used to hang out at the 242 Main Teen Center on Main Street, and I became friends with the senator's kids, and those were my first and earliest and bestest friends, right? And Dave Driscoll and I worked together at Burton Snowboards. I was in marketing there, and he still works there. And on our lunch break, we would sit around and talk about Bernie and his potential run for the presidency, and I asked a million questions, like, you know, who's going to do the new poster, or what's the music going to be like? And when I left Burton, he created an opportunity for me to sit down with Bernie and Jane and, you know, what my thoughts were on what I could do for the campaign. And, you know, they let me do it. And Bernie's mandate was, don't make it about me, make it all about the issues. And I became the Director of Arts, Culture, and the Youth Vote for the campaign. So I had the honor of holding that position for a year, and I left the campaign right after our California run. And, you know, going across this country and seeing so many young people and seeing the passion and the energy and the enthusiasm for democracy was really, really moving. I swore that I would do everything I could to continue to keep that energy and momentum and that movement, our movement. I have dedicated myself to helping us see it all the way through. So it's been an honor to be part of Rock the Vote. That's how I made the transition from the Bernie Sanders campaign to this organization. And ironically enough, Rivers rocked the vote in City Hall Park the summer of 1992. That there were, you know, they had a table in City Hall Park. There were two girls that were from UVM. They said, hey, come over. Are you registered to vote? I didn't even know what that meant. And I went over there. They signed me up. And it's just beautiful how it's been able to come around full circle that now I'm here and have the opportunity to bring more people into the political process.
So tell me a little bit about what we're looking at for people who can't see it.
Well, this is a this series here is by this artist. His name is Michael D'Antonio, and it's three pieces of a series here. But the one that we're looking at right now is called The Talk. You have a father sitting on a couch opposite of their young son having a discussion. The TV's right behind them, and it says, no indictment in the police shooting of unarmed youth, right? There's a split screen on the TV. It's a cop. And then there's a kid who looks just like the little kid sitting on the couch, okay? In the background, there are a framed photo of Martin Luther King. This is a conversation that is happening every day. This is happening to us every day. I'm a person of color, right? I'm a father. I have a 16-year-old son, just turned 16. His mother and I just bought him a used Volvo as his first car. Why did I buy him a used Volvo? Because it's safe. We sat down. I said, son, I love you. This is a big responsibility. I'm so scared to let you go out in the world and drive, but I have to. Please promise me that you won't drink and drive. Please promise me that you'll wear your seatbelt. Please promise me that you won't get crazy in the car. This is a conversation that all fathers have with their sons when they turn 16. But because I'm a person of color and my son comes from me and looks different, I have to also have the conversation today that says, son, also, if and when you get pulled over by the police, please know that no matter what, you're going to be okay. I'm going to get you out. I just need you to know that so that you know that you're not in any trouble with me, so that you don't lose your composure, so that you don't get scared and fumble around and make that cop nervous. Keep your hands on the steering wheel so that he is less likely to lose his mind and shoot you and kill you. That's the conversation that as a father you have to have in America today with your 16-year-old son when he gets his first car.
And around the edges, I'm seeing names, most of which I unfortunately recognize.
I don't even want to see those names. I don't want to even see those names because that name could easily be my son. And I'm not prepared to even take that, you know, as a thought, right? So these are the issues. These are the issues that we're facing as Americans today. These are real issues.
Honestly, this is an incredibly emotional
this is the artist.
Place.
Michael D'Antuono. I'm from New York. I'm an artist from New York.
Wonderful to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Michael, what led you to doing these three pieces in this series?
Well, as an old white man, I assumed that racism was basically over in this country, but through all the videos of the police shootings, trying to be swept under the rug, that woke me from my ignorance, the comfort of my ignorance. And I want to do the same with as many other white people to get them to see, in this case of the talk, to elicit empathy, to put yourself in someone else's shoes, that how would you feel if you had to give your child that talk?
So many conversations with my kids around the dinner table but the moments where they're like, the whole country seems like it's about to explode, and I have to stop and say, kids, this is what's going on. I gotta make you aware of this so you know what's happening here. Whether it be police violence, whether it be the Sandy Hook, maybe at this moment, insane conversations with your kids.
It's like that in 2016.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
It's beyond crazy. It's surreal almost.
And how does it make you feel to have that conversation? That I don't have to have that conversation to my kid, but you do. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel, as a person of color in the United States, alienated.
Yeah.
By myself.
In your own country.
In my own country. A country that I love. A country that I've served for.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm the first person in my family born in this country. My parents are from Cuba. I'm the first person in my family born here. I'm from Miami. I moved to Vermont. I grew up in a beautiful, you know, pretty safe place. I got the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to be able to work for the senator for the campaign, and to still have all those accolades or whatever, still be, when I get pulled over, you know, it's terrifying. When we had just won New Hampshire, right? We just won New Hampshire. We're driving back. A kid who worked for me, white kid, driving his car. I'm sleeping. He's speeding. We get pulled over. Cop pulls us over, and you know, normally the cop is on the left side of the door. Cop is all. I'm looking out to the left side to see if he's gonna show up. All of a sudden, the cop opens the door on the right. Opens the door on my right side of the passenger.
Wow.
And is half an inch from my face, yelling at us, right?
Really?
In New Hampshire. And the first thing that goes in my mind is, this stuff, right? Like, please don't lose your mind. I don't want to end up dead. I'm looking at this kid like, don't go crazy, kid. Just do what he says. Just be cool, man. Like, let's just get out of here, right? Everything's fine. He gives the kids a ticket. Doesn't even give him a huge ticket. Gives him a ticket, and we drive away, right? So here I am, a guy who's working on a presidential campaign. I just won New Hampshire, and in 1 second, none of that shit matters, man. Because I'm just some dude, you know? And there's some guy with the ultimate authority over me. These are issues that aren't necessarily at the presidential level. These are actually, in fact, issues that are at a local level, right? So what we're trying to do here with this installation and our campaign, the Rock the Vote, Truth to Power campaign, is to help educate young people and express to them how important it is that they A, register to vote, and then B, show up to vote, but not just at the presidential when all eyes are on it. We need you beyond that. We need you to vote for your school board. We need you to vote at a state level, at the midterm level. As you know, as we all know now, because of the work that my former boss, Senator Bernie Sanders of the great state of Vermont, did, he helped young people bring these issues to the forefront and talk about them and learn about the arcway of voting, right? Like, that it is not just one person that is going to miraculously cure all our problems, that we, the people, need to show up and do our job, which is vote people in or out of office, right?
All right, if you could bring one piece home that really you wish everyone in Vermont could see and appreciate and experience the way you and I are right now, which one, and can we go look at that one?
Personally, if I could bring one home, my absolute dream would be to take the 90-foot Keith Haring that is outside of our building. I mean, this building that we're in is, I don't know, like 12 floors, 12 plus floors. I don't know if we do that in Vermont yet anymore, right? We don't, just kidding. It is a beautiful painting that Keith Haring, the late, great Keith Haring, made with his group that he worked with called City Kids. It's a painting of the Statue of Liberty. And Keith Haring was one of my favorite artists of all time. When I was young, that was the first sort of street artist that I ever got exposed to. And I wish that I could bring that home. I wish that I had a building tall enough to display that in Burlington. I hope that maybe we do someday be able to bring that to Vermont and share this piece. The reason it's so special, it has not been in North America since the early 80s. It was here, and then it was shipped to Paris, where it lived on display for a little while. Then it was packed up and sat in a crate 10, 15, 20 years, whatever now. So this piece only exists right now. It'll go back into a box and go away. So I wish I could share this beautiful Keith Haring with the good folks of Vermont, and maybe we will if we bring this show on the road. This show is the launch of our campaign for Rock the Vote called Truth to Power. We'll be taking this concept to critical states during this election cycle. We'll be visiting college campuses, cities, wherever young people are. We're going to go there and we're going to have these conversations. And we want, again, to register as many young people to vote and keep them engaged in the political process. These young people that came out in support of Bernie, I know that the senator wants them to stay engaged and has expressed that. And so we hope that young people show up in November to get a new president.
So just as we were wrapping up, a bunch of people started gathering together, linking arms for what is seemingly a giant hug. And they're wrapping their way around some of the installations so that they can make more room.
You heard Luis Calderon, the vice president of marketing and creative at Rock the Vote, speaking with VPR's Emily Alphen Johnson. We have a ton of photos of the art they described and much more that you can check out on Vermont Edition's Facebook page. Our reporting from the Democratic and Republican National Conventions is supported in part by the VPR Journalism Fund.